الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، الصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue showering His blessings upon us in every way that He knows we need it. And Allah ta'ala must not deny us and deprive us of any of His blessings because of our weaknesses. Allah must give us the tawfiq at all times to make shukr, as well as to continue to make tawbah for all our sins. Alhamdulillah, the discussion on these nights, on Wednesday nights when we sit here, deals with all those things, all those obstacles that can come between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the pitfalls that can cause a setback in a person's life. Everyone should have this focus and this attention and this desire in his heart that he wants to have the closest relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to be connected very closely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if a person is not careful, then his heart will not have the capability of maintaining that connection and that contact. So, because we are living in this dunya, there are lots of things, lot of pitfalls that are there. We need to maneuver and negotiate ourselves around these things, but not to fall and stumble over them. Because if we fall and stumble over them, then it's going to cause a bit of a setback in our life. And we have to at all times be conscious about that. And part of our life is a jihad. There is no one living in this world who is not making jihad. When we speak of jihad, then normally people will only speak about, you know, they'll think of this thing about the battlefield, you know, where people are busy going and doing all kinds of attacks and whatever it might be. But we must remember that is a small jihad. The big jihad is when a person is not on the battlefield, and when he is attacked by different enemies in different forms that are coming between him and Allah Ta'ala. The battlefield is only the one enemy, you know, that's my enemy there, I need to sort him out. When you come back home, then the other enemies that are there, all these obstacles and these pitfalls, all these temptations, all these desires that come there, there are lots of them. And now you're not fighting one enemy, you're fighting many, many enemies. So it is one hadith mentioned, that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from a jihad, and he said, "Narji'u min jihad al-asghar ila jihad al-akbar." To the sahaba, we come back now from a small little jihad. Now we're going to a big jihad. So small jihad was what? You were facing the enemy, and you were going to probably be vanquished. You might just get killed there. But that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to as a small jihad. At home, there's nobody busy chopping your neck off. There's no enemy there. What is that? Here your iman is at stake. Here, if you're not careful, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala can become totally severed. And just one wrong statement, or one wrong desire, one wrong movement, and that can be so dangerous that you can ruin your whole akhirat. That is why that is referred to as a big jihad. Now, there are various obstacles we spoke about in the past, probably the whole year, going 1.5 years back. We spoke on 4 specific things. We spoke on dunya. It's there, you can't run away from it. You need to maneuver your way around it. We spoke about shaitan. He is there. There is no way, shaitan is going to leave us alone. Just today or yesterday, somebody was saying, shaitan is busy making major attacks on me at the moment. I said, not at the moment, it's all the time. Don't ever think shaitan goes on holiday. He is all the time busy, he's doing this way, he's trying that way. It's just that you are more conscious at the moment that he's making attacks on you. And otherwise, we spoke about human beings that are around us in different ways. They pose a challenge to us. They come sometimes in their beauty, sometimes they come in their ugliness. They challenge us in our interaction with them. We'll be very careful. And we spoke about the nafs thereafter. The nafs is also one of those things that we have to be very, very careful. That if you're not aware and alert, then there's also one pitfall. And we don't know in which way the nafs can be pulled. Sometimes the nafs is pulled towards beauty, sometimes beauty of women, sometimes the lust, sometimes passion, sometimes whatever worldly thing it might be. So a person continuously must be worried about that. So these things are all there. But we also mentioned these are things that a person can use to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a double-edged sword, as we will say. If you're not careful, it can be our pitfall, it can be our downfall. And the same things, if they come our way, if we know how to maneuver and negotiate ourselves, then we will come very close to Allah. Like we always quote, our Sheikh says, that when you are on the streets, and you are at the airports, and when you are at the bazaars and the marketplaces, at that time, you are challenged and you are exposed to a lot of haram things that you are not supposed to see. Either you can let those things overpower you, or either you can overpower them. So you decide which way you want to go. So those things are going to be there. Among the things that is referred to as a bad quality, the quality is not necessarily bad. It's a quality, just like all the other things you mentioned, but that can be a major setback and a pitfall for somebody, is the quality of anger. Anger, it falls when you look at the kitabs and you look at the discourses of the mashayikh on purification of the heart and of, you know, clearing the road between you and Allah Ta'ala. And one quality they speak about is that of anger. So is anger a bad quality or a good quality? Again, anger is there. The way we maneuver ourselves and the way we manipulate that anger, we can use it in our favor or we can use it against us, then that is the same thing. We can decide, like all the other things, it can also be a major boon for us. Because you must remember, we mentioned some time back, that when we are faced with all these challenges and we allow ourselves to be, you know, torn apart for the pleasure of Allah, we allow ourselves to be martyred for the pleasure of Allah in all the face of all these things here, then Allah will love us, because Allah will say, for my sake this banda has done it. So there are so many, you know, enemies that are faced. Anger is one, pride is one, and all these other things we mentioned. A person is there, he's at all times, you know, being challenged. His desire, his nafs, he's got bad habits, bad qualities, whatever he wants. But for the pleasure of Allah, he fights them. So how many times he becomes a martyr? Whereas if in a battlefield, one time you're a martyr and over and done with. That's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the big jihad. So, when we look at anger, the Quran Kareem has made mention of it. There are three things mentioned there. One is wal kazimin al ghayz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised the qualities of his special servants, or the special qualities of his servants. Either ways, what are those qualities? And if we can bring them into our lives and we can inculcate them, then whenever we read this ayat and we come to it, then we'll know that, you know what, I am among the special servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised these qualities and has praised people who have got these qualities. Those who suppress their anger. So the one word is wal-kazimin al-ghayz. Wal-afina anin nas. And the second quality in the same line, the flow of this ayat, is those who overlook other people. It's very difficult to overlook those who specifically went out of their way, deliberately made every attempt to hurt you and to, you know, harm you. Now you must overlook that. So that is a big, big jihad. It's a very big jihad. And the third one is, Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who do good. In a flow of this ayat, in the meaning, in other words, those people who angered you, those people who wronged you, over and above that, you still go and do some good action to them. Now that must be some real jihad. On the battlefield, you got rid of the enemy and you sorted him out, finishing class. But when you are here on the here at home now, and somebody came and they deliberately went out of the way to harm you, to make you so angry, you controlled your anger. And then you told the person, I make you maaf. And then you still go and give him a gift. Now that must be a very, very good quality you have got in you. But that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised. And everyone, somewhere along the line, is faced with situations, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes on a weekly basis, sometimes whenever, with situations where he is being tested for his temper and for his anger. So if a man knows I've got a temper, he needs to be double sure about how he conducts himself. And there are those who are with average temperament. They will just get ticked off when the things get, you know, and they get pushed over too much. So they also have to be careful. And there are those who take very long to get angry. But you must remember, don't ever think that this quality of anger can be annihilated. Anger has to be there. And there must be times when a person must show his anger. There are times when he must suppress his anger. If a person is now, for example, fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's fighting the munafiqin, he's fighting the mushrikeen, at that time he can't go like a humble servant of Allah, not your anger, and say, bye, yeah, your humble servant is here, you know, I'm going to now talk nicely to you, else I'm going to take your head off. You know, you're not going to talk like that. You're on the battlefield, it's fire, it's brimstone, it's all kinds of weapons. At that time, you are fighting with all enthusiasm against the enemies of Allah. There's a time you must show this particular anger of yours. Or somebody is breaking the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, you cannot use wisdom maybe, and you cannot use soft talk. At that time, for the pleasure of Allah, you have to use that anger. Sometimes you need to express your anger to make your point. But you must know how to maneuver yourself, how to conduct yourself, to let your anger be known. You know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also got angry. He came across a group of sahaba that were sitting in a masjid and were discussing taqdeer. And they were not supposed to be discussing the taqdeer. And the hadith mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry. And not only this, okay, whenever he used to get angry, then it should look like somebody had burst a pomegranate seed on his cheek. He would get red, he would get angry. So he showed his anger at that time. And there were times when people made statements or people did certain things, especially in the matter relating to the commands and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his anger. So it's a quality that cannot be wiped out and highlighted. It has to be a quality that has to be managed, and you have to maneuver yourself. And if a person at that moment when he's so angry, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, now here this is not a place for me to lose myself. Because when a person loses himself, he can lose his iman, he can lose his amal, his whole deeds can just go away in the single moment because of what he says or what he utters. And he allows himself to be, you know, burnt up inside. Allah knows what happened there. And such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws him very, very close. The quality of passion and lust is there. Nobody can come and say, give me a wazifa to read, you know, so I cannot have passion and lust. Then what are you going to do when you're going to go by the wife? You're flat. You can't do anything because there's no passion, there's no lust. Passion and lust has to be there, but it has to be used and maneuvered and channeled in the right place. So all these qualities are there. Even pride is a bad quality. It's a quality that is condemned. But there are certain occasions where you cannot act like a humble servant. You have to show your pride. There is a saying in Arabic, At-takabbur ma'al mutakabbirin, that when you are confronted with people who continuously show arrogance, at that time, to put them in their place sometimes, or to not allow them to get, you know, there's bullies you get. You know, you must also put up a front at that time of takabbur. You know, the first three rounds of tawaf, they say you must make ramal. That ramal is what? That ramal, the origin of it is that you have to walk with a gait. It means a walking style of an arrogant person. They say with your chest out. Obviously, you can't do it with all the crowds. Sometimes with the nafil tawaf, when there are many crowds and you're making a nafil umrah at that time, only in the nafil umrah, not in the normal tawafs, in the first three rounds, and you got a new ihram that time. And you make the first three rounds. It got an origin because when the Muslimin came to Makkah to make tawaf at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, so they became very sick, the Muslims, they were overtaken by fever. And the Munafiqeen, the Mushrikeen was sitting and laughing. They said, these people are finished when they fled. See how sick they are. They will make tawaf here. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't allow them to laugh at you. Walk in a manner like you are very, very, you know, strong, and you are, you know, not caring. Show them, you know, show them who you are, basically. So these people started walking, and the Mushrikeen were watching, and they were watching. After the third round, they went away. They said, no, these Muslims are very strong. So that's why it's only for the first three rounds. But where is the origin of this? So there to express pride is an ibadat, can you imagine? So what we are saying is different qualities are found there, and a person has to know how to maneuver and use them in their correct place. And in this way, he must come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has used the word here, kazimin al-ghayz. Kazimin comes from the root word kazima. Kazima is translated as, among the Arabs, they said it's better for them, they know how to understand. So they used to carry water bags, the leather one. And when this thing used to become full, and before it bubbles over, then you just take a string and you tie the mouth of it. So now the water can't come up. So you can see how it's tight, it's suddenly secured, so the water can't bubble. So they have said, this man has made kazima. He has tied up the mouth of the bottle so the water can't come. It's now a skin bottle, you can picture it. So the anger that builds up in a person is like that water in that skin bottle. So at that time, when it's coming up and you're going to now really lose yourself, you're going to say something or do something or fling something at somebody, at that time you must tie the string up and you must make qazi min al-ghayz. You must shut that anger up and you must not allow it in any way to overtake you. So that is what is meant qazi min al-ghayz. And ghayz is this thing that it is an anger that is boiling inside you at all times. And that anger that is continuously boiling is very, very dangerous. Because why? What can happen? The day it explodes, it really comes out. You know, and there's other fellows who get angry now and then, a little while, their anger is not so serious because it's over. But the person for weeks or for months, somebody is working on him and he's getting angry and angry. And the day when that thing comes up and he's going to lose it, he's really going to lose it. And then he'll do something. Then you say, how could this man ever go do this? He never showed any signs, but the thing was busy boiling. So he's the one who needs to tie it up with a string, like the water bottle. Any case, these are some of the technical points. There are a number of hadith, but why we are doing this particular chapter, because it is one of the dangerous things that can cause a person not only to destroy his relationship with Allah, it can cause such ruin that he can lose his own iman. What Shaitan says? Shaitan says that when a man is angry, and that's the time he is in our control, we take control of him. When you become angry, you literally open a door for Shaitan to come inside you. It just moves slightly. You know, sometimes we have these people who are affected with jadu, with black magic. And when they are under treatment, one of the things that is told to them is, make sure you don't get angry. Because the minute you get angry, you allow the door to open up. And then Shaitan comes in and he provokes the jadu that is inside. The jadu is being treated, it's being taken out slowly, slowly. Right? This is a topic that nobody will tell you. But and then that thing is again, so the door is opened up and he comes and he starts stoking that thing. So those people are given one specific advice. Just don't lose it. And many times they become so angry and the door opens up and Shaitan comes running inside again. And then he causes a whole lot of things. So he says, we take control of such people. And the control he takes, then he says, then we let that person do what we want to do. You are out of your control. You know more yourself. You do funny things. You do strange things. You do things which never, a weird thing, nobody even imagined you can do. Yourself, when you come out of the state again, then you say, well, how could I have said such a thing? Make me laugh. I know I was angry. And you apologize at that. How did I do such a thing? I'm not a person who ever think of doing such a thing. It was not you. You were overtaken at that time. So we look at a few hadith in this regard, but the idea is that, you know, people say we must go for anger management course. So inshallah, this few days, inshallah, we'll be doing anger management for our nerves and for our own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one hadith, Abisa. We'll do one hadith. Man kazama ghayzan wa huwa yaqdiru ala infadhihi mala Allahu ta'ala qalbahu amana wa imana. Subhanallah. That whoever is overtaken by anger, but then he suppresses his anger, despite having the ability to exercise his anger, implement it and do what he wants to, especially if the person who angered him is a bit of a weaker target, it's very easy to let go on him. But with all that, we have the power of keeping your anger. Sometimes you become angry, but you're scared to say, hey, I'm just not going to, because you know, if I'm going to let go of my anger, I'll lose out in the end. This guy will beat me up again. So to have the ability to exercise your anger, you know, then you control it. Look at the two things. Mala Allah. Allah fills his heart with two things. Aman, a special kind of peace. In other words, your heart will soon be overtaken with a kind of a special sakina and contentment which will go with you wherever you are. In different situations, your heart won't become bechain, your heart won't become restless because of you control the anger. And the second thing is, wa imana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your heart. Allah will fill. You know how much of an effort we have to make for our iman. Yeah, from Allah Ta'ala's side. So we said again, anger can be used to destroy ourselves, or anger can be used to inculcate and bring these two beautiful qualities. One is contentment and peace of heart, and the other one is iman from Allah. Mala'a means Allah fills it, you know, understand it. Allah is pouring it into your heart. What better way for a person to improve the quality of his heart? Inshallah, we'll continue with this topic.